Lord's been dealing with me today about the resurrection, and people to help us to some truths. It's 40 days about Jesus, after he arose from the grave. Not always a lot said about it, but I think it's very, very important. It's like the Lord's been really inspiring me all, even before today, but all afternoon. I've been studying the scriptures and praying, and pray that you'll pray the Lord will help me to deliver the word of God. You know, it's not my ideas, it's not your ideas, but it's what the Word of God says. And so we want to get some really good. So if you have your Bible or a pen and paper or something, follow along with me. Really desire you to follow along with the scriptures and get what God wants us to get a hold of. In Acts 1 and 3 it says, "Now Jesus, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with him, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now this is all Jesus talking after he arose. And I think it's very important if we do a Sunday school class or a Bible study or preaching or whatever, a testimony, if we're talking about the scripture where Jesus is alive after the cross, that we should bring that out, that this is Jesus alive after the cross. We, you know, a lot of people, we know that Jesus died on the cross for us, but he showed himself alive for 40 days for a very important reason. He wanted the disciples to pass this on. And I think it was, I read, there was two generations that of people that knew other people that saw Jesus alive. Now, if you saw someone arise from the dead, and this would be amazing. And Jesus said, came out of the tomb and he arose and talked to them, and they saw him and he preached to them. He ate with them. He was with his disciples. We're going to read that. And now he's talking to them just before he ascended to heaven. And it said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto other uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now this is the glorified Christ after he had shown himself alive for 40 days. The 40 days is mentioned in the Bible different times. It rained 40 days and nights, you know, when Noah had his ark and different things. We won't bring that out, but there's this number was something special about it. But we want to go on over here to St. John, where he, back here, St. John in the second chapter. Let's read a little bit here, but you know, where Jesus appeared alive. We just want to get this thought in our mind that his body did not stay in the tomb, but it arose and it was glorified and it was different. It was not the same body that Jesus died on the cross, but when he came out, he was different. He would vanish. You know, he would do things that we can't do with our mortal flesh and blood. He was different. But he was still Jesus. And there was not another body that was left in that tomb. That body was changed. And in the second chapter of John, it says in the third day, it says here in St. John 2 and 19, it says here, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was talking about his body. You can kill my body, but in 3 days I will be raised up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He was talking about, you can kill this body, but in 3 days I will raise up. You see, and this is a truth. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what Jesus had said. He remembered that he had said unto them, they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And now if you read down in, over here in the 20th chapter of St. John, we want to study some here about when the angels came to that tomb. Then in the 6th verse it says, well, let's read up here about the 3rd verse of the 20th chapter of St. John. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciples and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now in the Hebrew custom, this napkin was significant because it was wrapped so neatly. And what it was like when the master was eating. You know, when you get done eating, you have a napkin. If they would take that napkin and wad it up and lay it down on the plate or by the plate, if they wadded up their napkin, then the servant would know the master was done eating, and he would come in and clear up the table and clear up the dishes. But if the master folded that napkin by the plate, that servant was to know not to touch that plate because the master was not finished. And when Jesus' napkin that was on his head in that tomb was taken away and folded neatly, not with his other clothes, his clothes, he rose, but that napkin that was on his head was folded neatly, Jesus meant, I'm not finished, I'm coming back. And that's a very special meaning about this napkin. And then it says, went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without a sepulcher weeping, and she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, she says, sir, if thou hast borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Now this is the first appearance that Jesus makes, but what we want to encourage us tonight is the fact, we want to lay a foundation about Jesus. Because of his resurrection, because he lived, the song said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I live, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, and this one we encourage us tonight, that Jesus is the resurrection of our hope, our life. And because he lives, we can live too. We can have that hope that we will live again. And this life is short, but we have a hope of eternal life. And we want to go on to read. Then after that, the same day in the 19th verse at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, have you studied this about the doors being shut? The disciples were afraid that they were going to take them and do the same to them and kill them. And so they barred these doors and they shut them and they had it so locked. But Jesus could just go right through the door. I mean, he was Jesus. He was glorified. He could do anything. You see what I mean? He could vanish. He could do things that we can't do in this fleshly body because he had a glorified body. It's mysterious, but it's true. And as according to the scriptures, he appears to them. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And you know, that was his commission to send them. And when he had said, he received ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now this is the risen Savior talking. Now you know, Thomas was not there. And it said, but Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And he said, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Thomas, Jesus says, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Praise God. You know, this is a risen Savior. This is our hope of heaven. This is amazing. And Thomas says, and many other signs, and Thomas says to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. We can only imagine what it was like to be there in that time, to see Jesus die on the cross, see him buried in a tomb, and now he's alive again. Now he's alive again and talking to us. This is something so amazing, but it's true. It's really true as I'm standing here today. It's true. And Thomas says, and he says to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You are blessed. You are blessed tonight because you believe in Jesus. You believe in the resurrection. You believe that. And you have not seen him as far as you see him spiritually. But, you know, we are blessed. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Praise God. And you know, the Lord is he's just wants to bless us and help us to get a real inspiration. I hope that this really inspires you to I know it's been one of the amazing scriptures of my life when I read about Acts and how that he was alive and then he went up in the clouds, and many people kind of wonder, well, where is heaven? And how do I know? And all these questions we have. But you know, there is a heaven, and Jesus went up. How far is heaven? I don't know. I can't tell you how many miles up going into heaven and the universe, how far, but I know he went up. He went up, and I know that there is a heaven. I know there's a spiritual realm, and I know that Jesus said he went to the right-hand throne of God, and I know there's angels there, and we just had Christmas, and I know the angels appeared in the sky. And they said, peace be unto mankind. You know, I know those things are true. The shepherds saw the angels in the sky. And there is a spiritual world. And there is a place we're going to go. And there, you know, let's not be hopeless, but let's believe. As Jesus arose, we will arise too someday. And we are going to be a spiritual being in heaven with Jesus forevermore. This is a great comfort. St. John 21:3 says, Simon Peter, you know, Jesus had died on the cross. And what he used to do in his life was fish. There's nothing wrong with fishing, but he just thought, I'm going to go fishing. He probably was a little downhearted, you know, thinking that the Lord had died. You know, what use is it for me to go and preach? And they took Jesus and killed him. You know, I don't know what his thoughts were, but, you know, as a human being, we probably would have thoughts like that. But he just thought, well, I'll just go fishing. I know how to do that. I'll just go back and do that. But, you know, there in that sea of Tiberias, Jesus appears to them again. And there, you know, this is the risen Savior again. And when the morning was now in the fourth verse, come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know at first that that was Jesus. I put that in there, but they did not know. They knew not that it was Jesus. That's what the scripture said. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And you go on and read, let's read down here in the eighth verse. And the other disciples came in a little ship, but they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, this is the risen Savior. This is the risen Savior. This is after the cross. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. You know, that's just like the Lord. We can try to do something our own, but when God blesses it, he can do mighty things. You know, we can't catch anything when we're not in God's favor. But when God puts his hand on it, we can have a multitude. And you know, that's the way it was there. And the multitude of 153, you know, multitude is the word I'm just using, but you know what I mean. And a great number compared to nothing. But you know, it says, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Now the disciples just ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? They were beginning to recognize, it's the Lord. Now this is an amazing thing. This is just an amazing thing. He was dead in a tomb and he came out and he's alive. And he's, you know, there with them. And he's fixing fish, you know, cooking fish. And then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth him and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. And then he begins to talk to Peter. You love me more than this, go feed my sheep. We begin to talk to him that way. You know, that's what the Lord did. He began to talk. I want to read over to Luke 24 and 26. When he appears to them, just laying a foundation here and encourage us that Jesus is our resurrected Savior, that he appeared 40 days off and on. I read one time somewhere that, you know, if he would just have been with them day and night like he was before, they might think that he wasn't going to leave again. But he wanted them to know it's quite a bit different now. You know, I'm a risen Savior, and I'm still trying to, he had to do that. He had to do that. That was his purpose. His divine mission was to prove that he was alive. He had to, you know, he wanted to prove to them that he was alive. So they could go out, and you wonder how the disciples were able to be martyred for God, to be able to preach the gospel in the spite of people coming against them and killing them and all kinds of things. They kept going out, and even after the disciples, many people just kept spreading the gospel, and the gospel kept going forward. Even that came down to 19 and 20 where we're at right now. I mean, 2020. Right now that we've come down, because why? Because people have got a hold of this, that Jesus is a risen Savior. That our whole Christian life is based on the resurrection. That the hope of heaven. There's a scripture, it says, if it were not for the hope, we would be of all men most miserable. I've there's also, I believe it was Paul that said, and I'll give the scripture, but he said, you know, that if the dead rise not, and there's no hope of eternal hope, if there's no hope of heaven, then we might as well eat and drink and be merry, because we have no hope. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to eat and drink and be merry. We're not going to give up these truths that we have. We're not going to keep, we're going to keep pressing on. We're going to keep being soldiers of the cross, because we have this hope and we know it's true. And you know, it can, if we look at it in a fleshly way, sometimes it can be real downhearted. If we can get really downhearted when we bury our loved ones and things like this happens, but if we can get our eyes above that, if we can get our eyes on the resurrection. I remember one time I came in here during camp meeting and ordinance service time, and usually I sit over there, but during when I come back, usually I sit kind of low over here by Sister Humphrey. I would sit there, and of course Brother Humphrey's on the side of her, and I sit there with them. And the first time after they died, and I came in from the back there after feet washing, and I sat down, and Sister Humphrey and Brother Humphrey weren't there no more. They were gone. And I just, for a moment, couldn't handle it in the human way. And I just burst in tears. And so I thought, well, I need to get a hold of myself. So I went in there and cried it out and prayed, help me, Lord, to be strong. And I come back in and finished up the service. But what we're trying to say is, humanly, it can be real taxing on you. It can be really hard. And the enemy wants to make it look hard and make it look like, and I cut their picture out. I believe it was in Sister Humphrey's obituary. I cut their picture out. They were real special to me. And I put it in my book at home, Birth of Reformation, because I love to read that book. And so I've got their picture in there. So when I go to read that book, I can look at them. That's just what I did. But that might give you a thought. But anyway, it was comforting to me. Because, see, they were instrumental of helping me see lots of truths in Michigan. Brother Humphrey would drive and minister from Kentucky over to our little congregation there and teach us the truth. So they were real special to me. But you know what we're trying to say here is, don't get your eyes on these things and get hopeless feeling and feel like, you know, I can't deal with this and it's too hard. And it is, if we look at it a human way. But if we look at it that there's a resurrection, that there's a hope. We sing a song, is there any hope within us of a life beyond the grave in the sweet and vernal lands? Do we know if this our tabernacle were to be dissolved? We have a house not made with hands. Praise God. We sing these songs. We must believe in them. We must believe in them and enjoy the services this morning, the special singing, everything. And just thank the Lord for the, that he came and got us when we were a sheep that was lost, and over the mountains where lonely we wandered, Jesus our Savior came looking for us. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, we can't go into all the details right now. We're going to stay with the message, but the thought is, you know, I was born in Virginia, Richlands, Virginia. None of you knew me. I didn't know you. You didn't know me when I was a baby. Like some of us here know the baby's coming on, and you didn't know me. And even as a young little girl, you didn't know me. And I didn't know you. But praise the Lord, over the mountain where lonely I wandered. And then when my parents moved from Virginia up to Michigan there, totally different place, lots of snow. Talk about one snow, lots of snow there. When I was a child, there would be so much snow, I could barely get home from school. The policeman had to bring me home as a teenager in junior high because there was so much snow I could hardly walk. You know, those are the memories. But the Lord saw me, thank the Lord, and he saw you. But and there was something in me wanted truth. I wanted the church of God. I wanted truth. Saints, that's been me. I mean, I wanted to find the true church of God. And you have to understand me that that's where I am. I mean, I was hungry for it. I was thirsty for it. And the Lord, I prayed for it. God, help me to find the church that's true, that teaches the truth. You know, that I want, there must be a church out there somewhere. That's what I said to the Lord. And the Lord in his mercy. And we want to stay on the scripture, but what we want to say is that's the truth. Praise the Lord. And this is truth today. That he did arise. He didn't go straight up to heaven. He had a purpose. He wanted to prove infallible proofs that he was alive. Not for just them, but for us today. He wanted to encourage us. He knew it'd be hard. It's hard to lose your loved ones. It's hard to lose your sisters. It's hard. You know, the last thing Sister Nelda said to me, I talked to her during the camp meeting, and she said, I told her I loved her, and she said she loved me, and I was her sister. That's what she left with me. That's what she said. I thought about that several times, and I thought, you know, that's the way we got to be with each other. We got to be sisters and brothers and love each other. But I want to encourage you, 24, we're not going to read all of it, but when they were walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appears to them. And I was talking to someone one time, and they said, well, why didn't they know it was Jesus? Jesus purposely at first, it said he withheld in their eyes. But you know, it says, if you read this, it says, let's read just a little bit of this. In the 24th chapter, I might skip around some of the, St. Luke 24, probably about the 24th verse. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, and they constrained him and said, abide with us. That's where we get that song, abide with me. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. But they constrained him, far as I know, I mean, that might inspire that man. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now this is another thing. A flesh and blood body like I have today, or you have, we cannot vanish. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's the truth. We cannot walk through walls. We cannot do those things. But a glorified body can. Jesus could do different things because he was different. He was no longer the same body that they hung on the tree. He was a glorified body. He vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And then it goes on to say, he appears to them again. In the 36th verse, he says, peace be unto you. And he says, 38th verse, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Now this could be a little confusing because you could say, well, he just says he's got some flesh and bones. But he's a glorified body. He wasn't just they could see him. They could put it like Thomas. They could touch, you know, we have to really get into scriptures and study these things. But they could touch his hands. He said, touch me. But he still was different. He was a glorified body. Now, we want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. May the Lord help us tonight to really, really get inspired with this thought. 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. It says, and that he was buried, it's talking about Jesus, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12 disciples, or I put disciples in. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. This risen Jesus was seen of 500. Do you believe by these scriptures that we're reading tonight that Jesus really arose from the dead? And he was alive. Do you believe that he could do that for us? Yes. Why are you living for the Lord? Well, because we love him. We love him. That should be the supreme reason, really. But it's also because we have a hope of heaven, isn't it? Isn't it also that we want to escape hell? We don't want to go to hell. I mean, anybody in their right mind would not want to go to a place like that after death. So there's reasons why we're serving the Lord. And this is one of the greatest reasons of this hope. And it says, he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Some are fallen asleep. Now, we don't believe that someone goes to sleep and they never wake up. We don't believe that. But you notice lots of times, remember when Jesus went in to pray for the little girl? He says, she's not dead, she's asleep. Well, the thought is that if you're sleeping, you wake up generally, right? You wake up unless you die in this world. But otherwise, we sleep, we go unconscious for, it's kind of like you're unconscious. I mean, for hours, you go to sleep and you look at the clock, you wake up and it's a different hour and you really are in a semi-state where you really don't know what's going on. You're resting. And you're sleeping and you wake up. What the Lord is trying to get to us is that people are just don't die and there's no hope. The maiden's just sleeping. She's, you know, Lazarus, when he was in the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. I've heard people say that if he had just said, come forth, that many of the graves could have opened and came forth. He thought about after Jesus died on the cross, when the veil was rent in twain, many of the saints rose from the grave and walked about. It was like they knew this surely was the Son of God. I mean, things were happening, right? Many things were happening. So, you know, he says, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, some are fallen asleep, and that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, Paul's talking, also as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then it is not Christ raised. In other words, if we're going to say the dead don't rise, then Christ don't rise. He didn't rise. And we know that he rose. So it gives us hope, because a lot of people in the world could say, you know, you're finished, that's over, it's over. No, it's not over. We have a hope. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And you know, thank the Lord. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But we are going to have, praise God, we want to read in the 40th, let's read the 35th verse of that same chapter. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? But with what body do they come? They are full. That which thou sowest not quicken except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And it goes on to say there's celestial bodies, there's terrestrial bodies. And it goes on to say in the 42nd verse, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. That's what I have tonight. That's what you have. A natural body. But it is going to be a spiritual body. Okay? Now let's read this again. It is sown a natural body. So sown is to put in the ground. Like you sow wheat or you sow, when you're working on a farm, you sow and something comes up, right? You sow seed in the ground, buried. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Praise God. And it goes here on say, the first man, howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. We have a natural body first. We don't know anything about a spiritual body up to this point. This is all we know. We cut ourselves, we bleed. We hurt ourselves, we get a broken bone, right? I've had broken ribs in my life in a car accident. So we know we have things, we get sick, we have pain, we have troubles like that in the flesh. But someday afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, the second is up from heaven. And now it goes on. And the 50th verse, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, it's not talking about the kingdom we're reigning in right now. It's talking about the heavenly kingdom, the spiritual world, the heavenly with Jesus and the angels and that. We have to have a different kind of body then. I remember years ago at Monarch, Jerry and I were pretty young, and we were talking to Brother McCoy. I don't know if some of you would know Brother McCoy, but he was the minister there in Ohio, and he pastored Brother Humphrey. And Brother Humphrey got saved. And so he was a really elderly man then, probably up in his 80s, but I don't know exactly, but he was getting pretty old. But he said to us, he goes, it's okay. He said, this body's got to go down. He said, I got to lose this body, but God will give me in heaven. I have to lay this down, and it has to be changed for me to inherit heaven. It's okay. But he had so much of God in him. I mean, his soul was so full of God. His spirit was so full of God that he knew that when this temple was no longer and this body would give in and die, that he would fly away to be with Jesus and it would be all right. And that someday the Lord would give him a new body, a glorified body. And he was all encouraged about that. Now it says, I show you a mystery. And we know that we're going to end this up pretty quickly here. But what we were trying to get at is get a hold of that in your heart so much that we serve a risen Savior and that we are not hopeless, but we're full of hope and that we live in our life. We're not living our life in vain as a Christian. The more you can get of God, the better off you'll be. The more you consecrate to the Lord and really get close to the Lord, the better off you'll be, right? And it says here, and there's not one of us that don't need to get closer to the Lord and read more and study more. I have to resist many things to take time with God. Right now I got home, I got a lot of dishes I got to wash. But you know, I left it. I was going to do it in the words of live it, just leave it. Had to play, be more like a Mary. Leave Martha aside for a while, get it done. You know, because sometimes there's more important things and you got to put priority. But it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. And that says here, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one I want to go with me except Jesus Christ. I mean, when it's time for me to die, nobody can go with me except my Jesus Christ. My Jesus, only Jesus. You know, no one else can cross that river with you, but Jesus can. And you just stay encouraged. You hold on to Jesus. You don't let the enemy discourage you. Hold on to Jesus because it'll be worth it all. It will be worth it all to gain inside of heaven. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And there's one more scripture I want to read to you, Lord willing, here in Philippians 3:21. And like I said, we may have to have more studies about this. You can't preach it all in 45 minutes or whatever about this. There's so much about, you know what I'm trying to say? There's so much about heavenly things. But we want to read this scripture. It says, Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. For, and the 20th verse above that says, for our conversation is in heaven, or our conduct of our life is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or change our body, and that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So there again, there's just a little bit here I want to read in this scripture, this beyond the tomb. This is by H.M. Riggle. It was printed by the Faith Publishing House. Very, very good book if you want to study about the hereafter. What happens to us? I mean, we don't need to be in the dark about these things. We need to know as much as we can. I know we're not going to know everything, but we need to know according to what we read in the Bible and according to what we study. Page 189. I said one more scripture, but, well, I'll just quote that Jude 14 is another scripture. But I want to read this to you before I sit down. It says, only our, 189 of this book, only our bodies will be raised at the trumpet sound. Only our bodies sleep in the dust of the ground. That which sleeps in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, we're not going to read all these scriptures, but Ecclesiastes 12:7, Matthew 27:52-53, Daniel 12:2. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile mortal body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:20. Which we just read, it is not our soul, but our body that will be changed in the resurrection day. Our soul is eternally set. I mean, our soul can never die. You know, it just can't. It was created for eternity. What dies is the body gives out, the fleshly body. But it will be changed. It is not our soul, but our body that will be changed in the resurrection day. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Only our bodies are mortal, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is clear. Those who sleep in Jesus, the spirits, the souls of all the departed, will God bring with him, namely all his saints. In that moment, the bodies will be raised from the graves, immortal, incorruptible. The soul will then animate these immortal bodies and dwell therein forever. I need a Kleenex. I'm almost done, but no, we're there. But anyway, this will be the order of the final resurrection of the dead, according to the united testimony of all Scripture. I would just challenge us, thank you. I would just challenge us to really study these Scriptures. This will be the order of the final resurrection of the dead, according to the united testimony of all Scripture. Thus far, we have only considered the righteous, but the wicked will also be raised. The Lord shall descend with a shout, with the trump of God, the last trump, and not only will the righteous hear his voice, in that very hour all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, some unto good and the resurrection of life, and some unto evil. You know, this should really put the fear of God upon us, that we will, every eye shall see him, and that our soul, I can't remember. Did I say that was the last scripture I was reading, Lord willing? But anyways, Jude 14 is, if you'd bear with me, because I don't want to, is that okay if I read? Okay. Well, I wrote that down, and I thought it was such a good scripture. And I try to say, oh, Lord willing, because I don't want to do anything wrong. But anyway, Jude, this is what I wanted to read. Jude 14, the 14th verse of Jude is just one chapter, right before Revelation's there. It says, Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Now, according to what they're saying here, the souls of the departed, the saints, are coming with the Lord. I know I said 10,000 saints, but it could mean more of a number than that. Maybe that's just the number they're saying. But, you know, the Lord's coming with his saints. And at that time, the body that's in the grave, it says, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the spirit of your soul will go back into your body, and you will be glorified. Now, how God does that, that's a mystery. But what I'm trying to say, if he can create us in the first place, in our mother's womb, you see what I mean? How did he make us in the first place? I mean, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So it's not that mysterious that he could change us and give us an immortal body and have our spirit dwell in it. And like I said, there's a lot of study in this that we could go into. We can't get it all tonight, but just wanted to inspire you with hope. That's my thought. Hope of the resurrection. Hope when the tears fall and we feel like, oh, this is really hard. I've lost people in my life. It's really hard. But the Lord can help us. And the Lord can give us that hope. And when we think of them, let's think of them as in paradise. So, you know, thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, let's just think of that way. You pray for me. There's some real good, deep truths in all this. And I just hope that it inspires you to think of heaven and think of what God's going to do. I want to be ready in the resurrection morning. When the trump sounds, I want to be ready. You pray for me. I want to live for the Lord and please the Lord. God bless all of you.